You got here in time for the dancing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my favorite people in the chat are the ones that sometimes will stroll in late and they say, oh, I miss the dancing. Yeah, you can't miss the dancing. That's the best part. What are you doing, man? Welcome, everyone. We're testing out a little bit of a different sound situation. I wanted to have an option without headphones, so we're trying it out today. Let us know if anything goes afoul in the chat. Let us know. I always have the headphones here. Flip them right back on, so don't you worry. But we're testing it out. Today's a big show. Got a lot of stuff in store for you. I'm going to tell you what we have on tap today, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of info about who this show is brought to you by, a great partner that we have, and then we're going to dig right in. Really, really good stuff. Okay, so what am I going to do today? I got a lot of requests after the Zuby interview. People were like, Jed, I want to hear what your red flags are when it comes to a woman. So I said, oh, okay, opportunity has arisen. So I'm going to give you 5 signs that your girlfriend is a giant red flag. I'm going to tell you what to look for. Stay tuned. Then I'm going to provide some updates on Andrew Tate's arrest. Got some notable stuff that I think has happened in the last couple of days I want to point out. And is there an agenda-driven media narrative? There is. I can tell you that. There's an article in the New York Post that I think perfectly exemplifies that. So I'm going to go through that article with you because you need to know how to detect fact from fiction, and you need to know how to detect that a narrative is agenda driven right off the bat, because then you have to dismiss it, right? If there's an agenda there, it's not news. So I'm going to help sharpen those skills. I'm going to talk about the dysfunction of 2 divorced women, young, by the way. They move in together. They get divorced. They move in together as platonic soulmates. It's a little weird. I'm just telling you, the story is weird. There's a little bit of creepiness going on. And they insist they don't need a man. So I'm going to tell you what's going to break that situation. But it's fascinating. We've got photos and everything. Oh, yeah. I came to party. And then I'm going to close with a video of a World Economic Forum speaker discussing overpopulation. What do you know? Kawinky dink. All right, here we are. So I'm going to tell you, today's show is brought to you by Aura. Some of you who are committed JB Live viewers will know that this is an important partner of mine. I care deeply about your privacy. I care deeply about your financial security. I care deeply about protecting both of those things. Aura is fantastic. I don't know if you know this, but identity theft is happening every 14 seconds in America. I myself have had my credit card stolen. A good friend of mine had her identity stolen. It took years, I'm not kidding, for her to get her life back. Aura is here to help. So let me tell you what they do. They monitor the dark web for your emails, your passwords, and your social security numbers. And they send alerts right to your phone, directly to your phone and email, if something is going on that looks shady. In other words, somebody opened a credit card in your name, they let you know. There's a purchase that's beyond the purchase limit that you've set, and they think, this might be a little fishy. You get an alert to make sure that that's you. It's fantastic, actually. I love the alerts. They come to my phone. Oftentimes, they're fine, but I see them, and I know that someone is looking out for me and for my, you know, financial security and whatnot. So the VPN, by the way, also lets you stay anonymous online. We care about privacy by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. And y'all know I talk a lot about the system and the death of privacy and all that stuff. This is a way to combat that. Now, I have something fantastic for you today, a great offer. If you go to aura.com/Jedediah, it's also going to be linked below in the show description. You can sign up right now at the link. Aura will give you a 2-week free trial. You can go on there and check this out. You can see how many of your passwords are on the dark web. That means that your passwords, the ones that show up, are compromised. Over 40 of my passwords came up the first time that I checked. Insane. I had a friend do it recently. Something like 60 passwords popped up that she knew. These are exposed. These are exposed in the dark web. So don't you want to know that? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to utilize this 2-week free trial. Remember, aura.com/Jedediah. And then I want you to write in the comments how many of your passwords were found. You can't care about financial security and privacy and not have someone out there who also cares about those things looking out for you. Aura is my partner of choice. I use them. My family uses them. I tell you all the time. I won't recommend anything to you that I don't believe in and that I don't use. Check them out. All right. 5 signs that your girlfriend is a giant red flag. You know, you're dating a girl. Everything's going smooth. You're feeling good about it. And all of a sudden, you start to see some things. Some things start emerging. So here are my 5 signs. Number 1, well, let's go from 5 down. And then I got a bonus for you, too. Number five, she's wanting to do girls' night out at the club without you. We've talked about this, but I need to drill it into your head. If she's all, you know, decked out, ready to go out, half naked, she wants to go out with the friends, and she's saying to you, you know what, honey, you got to stay home. This is all about the girls. There's nothing shady going on. There's nothing weird going on. You're looking at her like, well, why are you half naked then? What's going on there? I'm not talking about a girl wanting to go have dinner with her friends. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about something crazy is going on. You know it in the pit of your stomach. And why do you have to stay home? So I'm going to tell you straight up, if a girl really likes you, she's going to want you with her. She's going to want you at that club with her. She's going to want you dancing with her. She's going to want you to have that drink with her. She's going to want to be getting sexy with you. She's not going to want to be getting sexy without you while you're at home watching some TV with a big old bowl of popcorn. That is number five. Number four, she has a password on her phone. Okay. You don't know what it is. Now, I'm talking about your girlfriend now. I'm not talking about some girl you hooked up with once. Passcode on her phone. You don't know what it is. And every time you look over, maybe you're sitting on the couch, you look over, she kind of pulls it away. If you went and grabbed that phone just to be like, oh, hey, babe, I want to check, there would be like panic in her eyes. Mm-mm, honey. No, no, no. She's doing something on that phone she doesn't want you to know about. Now, I'm not telling you to go through her phone. I'm not, because that will lead you down a path of you'll be looking for something all the time. You'll be agitated. You cannot exist in a relationship where you're doing that all the time. And by the way, if you feel the need to be doing that all the time, I'll tell you straight up, as somebody who lived through that once, something's wrong. That means that your antennas are up for some reason. Something's wrong if you feel like, what's going on? But a key sign is if she hands the phone, if you're like, hey, babe, I want to just check something. I want to see where the restaurant is that we're going. She's just like, here. Or if she hands over that code, she's like, oh, 5420. You know, okay, she's not doing anything shady in that phone. Now, if she gives you the password, and then 2 weeks later, you see she changed it, somebody might be doing something in the DMs. Just saying. Keep an eye out. Don't be dumb. All right. Number three, she's got boatloads of sexy pics on Instagram. Booty out, you know, boobies a little bit here, there, all sexy, and you're not in any of them. You're not anywhere to be seen. Now, she may run the excuse. She may say, oh, maybe she's an influencer, right? Oh, it's bad for business if you're on the page. Translation for you, by the way, that means that she wants to have the door open because she needs her DMs to flood with all sorts of male attention. And she's also telling you that her business depends upon male attention. So know what you're getting into. Now, maybe you don't care about that. Maybe you're fine with it. Maybe you're like, well, she's bringing a lot of money. I don't know. That's up to you. It's your life, your decisions. But just know, if you're not anywhere to be found and all those sexy pictures are followed with a bunch of comments from guys trying to get a piece, you know how it is. Just know what you're getting into. Just know. Just know. Number two. This is one of my favorites, y'all. She has male friends that she hangs out with without you, particularly single male friends, but I'm gonna say all male friends. She has male friends. She hangs out with them without you. You're not invited. She has those private conversations with them without you present, and she wants them to remain like kind of like alone time. Like, you're not invited. It's not like, oh, hey, babe, my friend John is in from college and I want us all to go out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, hey, babe, John and I are gonna go out and grab a movie, blah, 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 blah. So here's my message to you. This is hard to swallow. Either that guy's the backup or you are. I'm telling you straight up, it doesn't work like that. And it's a sign of disrespect, frankly, I think, to behave that way. Once you're in a relationship, certain dynamics have to change. They have to change. And that's one of them, because I can tell you that 99.99999% of guys aren't going to be comfortable if you've got a single male friend that you're spending quality time with alone and your man's not invited to be there. Not cute. My number one, and then I even have a bonus for y'all because I'm feeling extra feisty today. Number one, she tells you she doesn't want to be exclusive. I'm telling you straight up, if a woman tells you she doesn't want to be exclusive with you, it's because she doesn't like you that much. She's not into you. When we like a guy, we are all about that guy. In fact, we can't wait to make that relationship exclusive when we're really into a guy. The only time a woman will tell you, oh, I need to, you know, make time for myself. I need to work on myself. I really like you. I really do, but I just feel like I'm not ready to commit. That translation, she's not into you. End of story. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, if she really likes you, all that stuff, she may need to work on herself. She may be a hot mess. She may be going through all that stuff. It's not going to matter. She is going to jump on that exclusive situation so fast, it's going to make your head spin. So just know it. If she's telling you straight up she's indecisive about you, that's a red flag because it's not going to work. If she's indecisive about you on day one, on day 21, she's going to be like checked out. You know, on day 201, forget it. It's over. Then she's doing the girls' night out half naked. I mean, it just escalates. I have a bonus for you. And this is a tricky one. This is my bonus. She's unsatisfied spending time with you unless you're spending a ton of money on her. Which means this. Now, I'm not saying don't do nice things for your girl. What I'm saying, though, is let's say you plan a little cabin getaway. And it's just you and her. And it's simple, right? It's just some good food, some good sunshine. It's just you and her. And she's looking for the action. She's like, well, you know, she's looking. Like, there's not enough going on for her. Where's the fancy club? Where's the fancy dinner? Where's the fancy everything? Red flag. You need a woman where you are enough. All that stuff, don't get me wrong, can be fun, can be exciting. The money can be exciting. The fancy trip can be exciting. The fancy car can be exciting. The fancy plane can be exciting. All of it can be exciting. But you need to know that you're with someone that if you lost all of that tomorrow, she would be right there by your side. There are women like that. And when women really love a man, that is how they behave. I'm telling you straight up. They would rather be with you, you know, maybe, you know, there's not all fancy stuff around than be with somebody else with all the fancy when they're really in love with you. So just keep an eye out for that. Now, again, I'm not saying don't do nice things for your girl. And I'm not saying that there's not freedom in luxury many times. Not saying any of that. I'm just saying know that you're with someone who at the end of the day, above all else, is there for you. By the way, not so easy to find in 2023. That chat is open. Angel is here today. We're going to get to the chat. So get your comments in there. Your super chats will be read. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Y'all heard about that YouTube glitch yesterday. Everybody was losing their minds. They were like, oh my God, my views are doing... Ooh, chilling. Just saying. All right. So I'm going to give some updates on Andrew Tate. It's been an interesting morning. A lot of trolls have been coming my way. Welcome, by the way, to the trolls. If you're here, hello. I'm going to give you some updates on a few things. I'm sure you saw that a court in Romania upheld his 30-day arrest. That's not surprising to me, actually. To be honest with you, my take on that, I really think they probably viewed them as a flight risk, honestly. I think they were like, these guys are going to be out of here. They'll go to another country before the investigation's closed. You know, I honestly think that that's probably what they were thinking. They're very savvy, the Tates. So that's, I was not surprised to see that. Regardless, some things have dropped. And one of the things was two of the alleged victims in the Tate case came out and they said they were like family with the Tates. And it was an interesting interview that happened. It's on Twitter. It's been pretty much everywhere. I know a bunch of different channels have cut it. But I want to share my take on this. And it's interesting to see some of these women coming out and now saying their message is basically don't trust the Romanian authorities because look what happened here. They were trying to portray us as victims and we're saying we're not. So let's go to that first tweet. I just want to play a bit of this for you in case you didn't see it. And this is just information. I'm just here to give you information that I see unfolding that I think, you know, shed some light on what could potentially be going on here. Let's play it, Angel. You have it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's play a little bit of this.
I will also like to say a thing. I think it's pretty embarrassing that 9 months after the first raid in April last year, we gave our statement in which clearly we said we weren't the victims. It wasn't until a couple of days ago, I think. Yeah, a couple of days ago that we found out about the whole situation. So I'm pretty annoyed and upset and I don't understand why this is happening.
Okay, just a second, because I have to speak in my language for all the people. So please tell me about your connection between Beatrice and between Tate brothers.
Between Beatrice and the Tate brothers? Well, me and Beatrice have been living together now for around 2 years. And I got to meet Beatrice, Andrew, and Tristan through some other friends of mine. We have had common friends and we met and till the end we ended up being like family. So this
are you working for Tristan Tate and
no,
Andrew Tate?
I've never worked for them or with them. We're just very, very close and we have... I am working on TikTok and Instagram.
Okay.
I'm working
so,
as an influencer.
And this goes on for the girls essentially say that in their view it's unfair what's happening. And they say that they don't trust the Romanian police and the system, because essentially they feel like people have been lying about them. These are two girls, as you heard, they don't work with the Tates. They've never worked with the Tates. They have some type of friendship with the Tates. They define it as being like family. And they're saying that they have been repeatedly identified as victims, even though they themselves have come out now repeatedly and said, we're not victims. We don't consider ourselves victims. None of that's going on here. So I thought that was an interesting display of what's going on the inside, that there's this disconnect in what is being investigated. Like, why are people repeatedly being pulled into something if they're saying, no, that's not what's going on here? That's interesting to me. Then there was Vice. Y'all heard about Vice and the video that came out, the promo came out. I don't know if the full thing ran, but apparently this guy over at Vice went and I mentioned this in the Zuby interview. He goes and he interviews the Tates, and they really let him into Hustlers University and they welcome him in. And everything seems to be going great. And then a bomb drops, which is they realize at the end that this guy's looking for a story. That was the story I heard. It was interesting. I see this tweet from Dylan Madden. Dylan Madden works at Hustlers U. And I see this tweet come out. Let's go to that tweet, Angel, and let's play it. This is his take. He works at Hustlers U, and he says he was there. He was there when this was filming. So let's listen.
I was there for the entirety of the Andrew Tate documentary, and it became very clear that they were not going to publish it because it was all positive. Even though we allowed him in, like, behind closed doors, we allowed him into the meetings, we allowed him to do the training, we allowed him to take part as if he was one of us, it was only positive. And he even made a comment. He was like, while I don't agree with you on quite a few of your public opinions, I have to admit that you're doing something positive for young men. He said that. And it wasn't until the morning of they were going to be leaving that his handler, producer, I have no idea who he was, got on a phone and then immediately went over to Matt, and then obviously couldn't hear the conversation, but the next thing I know, they tried to turn it into a hit piece on Andrew. That was where the clip where Andrew was like, what are you saying? And then like the clip that they're trying to spread, and they sat on the entire documentary because the whole world is pro Andrew, and now they've waited until all this stuff has been happening over the past couple weeks, and all of a sudden they have this mysterious hit piece. Don't believe it, guys.
Okay, now that's his take. And obviously he's part of Hustlers University, so you understand that's his lens through which he's saying this. I did think it's interesting. A couple of things are interesting here about, first of all, Vice is a hard left news organization. This is completely characteristic of them that they would show up, you know, supposedly well-intentioned. You saw the feminist panel that they did, feminist and anti-feminist. We covered it with Just Pearly. That was heavily edited. And my understanding, after speaking to multiple people behind the scenes and multiple people who were involved in that panel, a lot of what was edited out was the feminist acting like crazy and screaming and having a nervous breakdown, of course. So Vice is agenda driven. I have a few comments on this. Number one, I don't know why the Tates let this guy in. There is a glitch in that system. I know they're very guarded, and perhaps it's Andrew, you know, I don't want to use the word naive, but there is a naivete about media, I think, for people who aren't in media, right? And I think sometimes, you know, he comes from, he's YouTube, he's, you know, doing a bunch of podcasts. I don't know that he necessarily had a lens on what Vice was about. And maybe he thought, I'm going to let these people in, I'm going to talk, I'm going to give my story, I'm telling the truth, it is what it is. Maybe that was the way he was approaching it, I don't know. But somebody should have flagged that. Because I have to be honest with you, and I don't know what happened on the ground. I saw an exchange where it looked to me like Tristan had some perception about that guy, but that guy looks like a snake to me. Now, maybe I just grew up in Brooklyn around way too many former mobsters, but I can detect a snake from a distance, you know, and that guy looks like a snake to me. So I'm surprised that somebody didn't size that up and have some concern about what was going to happen there. That did surprise me. Interesting here. Why did they wait so long to release it? Why? It seems to me that they went and they did a documentary, and they probably came to the conclusion that there just wasn't a whole lot of dirt there. That there was probably, the deduction was that Andrew was a net positive. And yeah, it doesn't mean he agreed with everything that Andrew said, or I don't agree with everything that Andrew said. I don't agree with everything that anybody says. So it's just ridiculous. Oh, I don't agree with everything. Of course not. You're a thinking person. You're an individual. You should agree with anyone all the time. But I think the conclusion was probably that he was a net positive for men. And that he didn't find, there was no, you know, story there. They wanted like a reverberating story. So they waited, it seems. And it just seems a little odd to me that Vice would then release it. Boom. The Tates get arrested. Here's your documentary. And by the way, you're showcasing a woman in the documentary who's not giving her name, whose face isn't on camera, who is a woman who is making allegations that have already been dismissed by police because they were unfounded. There was no evidence to support them. So there's just something wrong here, right? You just got to call it what it is. The sartorial shooter, I don't know if you know who that is. I don't know any of these people, by the way, personally. I've never met any of them. These are not, they're not like buddies of mine. I don't know any of these people. I'm just doing research to figure out what's going on here. Sartorial shooter is a guy who is close to the Tates, that I do know. And he, again, never met him personally, but my understanding is that he's very close to them. I have had a couple of exchanges with him just trying to figure out like, what's going on here? Is this, you know, because he's tweeting. I want to know where, you know, where's this stuff coming from? He said, this is 100% accurate. Vice clearly decided not to release the doc as it didn't fit their negative narrative. 6 months later, Cobra Tate is arrested. The next day after the arrest, Vice contacted Tate's lawyer, said they were going to release it. So, you know, listen, you don't have to be rocket scientists to know that the timing of this is odd. And I don't care. I really don't care if you've got a problem. You know, I don't care what your personal emotional feeling is about Andrew Tate. If you're a fundamentally decent person and you believe in, you know, innocent until proven guilty and all these things, you should just be sitting here trying to figure out what's going on. And it seems to me that there's way too much of a hunger to criminalize this guy immediately. And there's way too little interest in figuring out what actually went on, because people got offended by some of his commentary. And what I see is hordes and hordes and hordes of emotional reactions to what Andrew Tate has said and done, emotional. And I see very little people actually interested in, well, did something illegal happen here? You know, let me just bring this up for a second before I switch over to the media narrative on this. People ask me about the webcam business a lot. I know Zuby and I discussed it. So let me give you my take on the webcam business. And I don't know the inner workings of what they were doing. I haven't interviewed any of the people involved in the webcam business. I personally am not into webcam, right? That's not my thing. You guys know, like, I'm trying to kind of restore the moral fabric of society. I'm someone who believes in fidelity and marriage and all of these fundamental ideals. So I would not tell men to spend their money on women in webcam, the same way I wouldn't tell men to spend their money on OnlyFans girls. That's not my thing. Okay, I wouldn't tell women to go and do OnlyFans or don't go and do webcam. I would tell them to do something different. That would not be a recommendation of mine. However, I'm also not going to tell grown women what to do with their lives. And if you're a grown ass woman and you want to do webcam and you want to do OnlyFans, then that's on you. That's your life, right? You'll have to deal with what comes with that. Maybe you'll make a ton of money and have no regrets. That's your life. That is not my decision to make. There are only two relevant questions for me when it comes to the webcam. Number one, were minors involved? That's number one. And number two, was anyone forced to do this against their will? Aside from that, these are grown adults making decisions for themselves. And what I see a lot of is like, oh, this person was taken advantage of. How? I want to ask, how do you have proof that they were forced as a grown adult to do something they didn't want to do? If you have proof, let me see it. Let me see it. If you don't, then I ask you, are these grown adult women or not? You can't have it both ways. You can't say these are grown women who are perfectly capable of making their own decisions. This, you know, we're an empowered female society and we're responsible for our own fate and destiny and we don't need a man. And in the same breath say, oh, women are making these decisions to get involved in OnlyFans and webcam because, you know, a guy is convincing them to do it. No one could convince me to do that, okay? No one could convince, because I don't want to do it. So who are we talking about here? Are these women self-sufficient and capable, or are they children? I mean, you just can't have it both ways. I just don't understand these arguments. Again, if someone's forced, you know, handcuffed to something, I mean, you know, that's a different story, but that is my take on webcam. End of story. And that's not particular, you know, just to Andrew Tate either. I just don't understand how it's like in one breath they want to say they're all empowered women, and in another breath they want to infantilize these women as if they're always being taken advantage of. Did it ever occur to anybody that these women made that decision on their own because they wanted to make some money and it was an easy and good way to have a steady flow of cash? I mean, are we not allowed to have that conversation? Well, we're going to have it because, you know, I don't take orders from anyone. So here we are. Okay, we're going to do one more and then we're going to get to the chat. So if you have a comment, if you have a question, whatever it may be, get a super chat in there and I'm going to get over there in just 1 second. I just want to read this article. So one thing that has happened is I've been looking at media coverage of Tate, and what's been abundantly clear to me in this process is that most of these people have done no research at all. They didn't watch the long form content. They didn't get on board at Hustlers, even just as a research mechanism. Let me see what's going on here. They didn't get the newsletter. They're not paying attention. They made a decision about this guy. They're playing it safe, right? It's like, well, what can I say that's safe? It won't anger this part of my audience. It'll keep this part of my, it's all strategic nonsense. They did the same thing, by the way, with the experimental injection. It was like, oh, what can I say? What can I don't want to make this one. Just like nauseating, these people with big microphones who just, and listen, I owned up, right? When I first came out on Tate, I was like, listen, I didn't do proper research on this, and now I've done it. Some of these people should own up, because what they're saying that's coming out of their mouth, it's deeply embarrassing. But I just want to show you an example of the media narrative. This is very important. And this, by the way, was reiterated and regurgitated by people with channels that have millions of subscribers. I hear people on channels with millions of subscribers calling Andrew Tate a self-described misogynist. They read that from the AP and they repeated it, because he is not a self-described misogynist. All you had to do was watch one long video and him saying, I'm not a misogynist. Also, get a dictionary. Just saying. Got over a million subscribers. Get a dictionary. Just, you know, you can go and just look it up online. Look up the definition of a misogynist. And also labeling him as somebody who calls himself a misogynist. He doesn't do that. We watched a whole interview here. I covered it with Piers Morgan. Go back and listen to the exchange on misogyny. Exhausted already. Are you exhausted in the chat from these crazies? I'm just saying. All right, let's take a look at an article as an example. This is important, y'all. You need to pay attention. UK schools grappling with teens brainwashed by Andrew Tate. Now, this is coming from the New York Post, by the way. This is coming from the New York Post, which people deem a conservative publication. That's your first mistake. But regardless, this is, that's our second article. Let's take a look. I'm going to read some of this with you. It's important. You need to pay attention to what's going on here. First line, teachers in the United Kingdom are creating lesson plans to re-educate teenage students who have been brainwashed by misogynistic influencer Andrew Tate. Okay, that tells you the tone of this whole article, right? They've decided he's a misogynist. They also need a dictionary. They have called him an influencer. I don't know if I'd call him an influencer, but whatever. Okay, here we go. A school in South London gave a presentation to a group of 14-year-olds after teachers became concerned about the students expressing ideas they learned from Tate, a self-described misogynist. You see it there, right? That is the phrase that's being picked up by everyone who reads feeds from the AP and regurgitates them because they're too dumb and lazy to do their own research. Okay. The group of about 30 students were reportedly asked questions like, do we think Tate is still harmless and what happens when we take in his messages? So they quizzed these students about Andrew Tate because they want to know what type of messaging the school needs to combat. They're worried about Andrew Tate. They don't like him. They don't like his message. They didn't do their own research. They probably watched a bunch of shorts. And now they're coming in and they're quizzing these young students to try to convince them that Andrew Tate is a horrible person and they need to abandon everything he said and there's no good to be found in any of his content. This happens. It happens all the time. It happens in schools all the time. So this is when you talk about indoctrination. This is what it is. In his videos widely shared on TikTok and other platforms, he claims that women belong in the kitchen and should be controlled by men through violence. Where does it say that? Show me the clip where Andrew Tate says that women should be controlled by men through violence. Maybe they're pulling the clip where he says if he's attacked by a woman, this is how you react. Where is this? I would love to ask. Who's this guy? Patrick Riley? Hey, Pat, show me the clip. Where does he say that? Where does he say that? So this is just a misrepresentation of who this guy is. And you don't, again, you can find clips where you're going to be like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this. But let's just talk about who he actually is and what he's saying. Can we just do that? Why is it so hard? You don't have to like all of it, but this is what Sophie Whitehead, who works at the School of Sexuality Education, which provides workshops on consent, calls his rhetoric violent and said it has affected so many young people. How is rhetoric violent, I ask you? Notice the theme here, by the way, because the feminist panel also told Just Pearly things when she showed up that they went through violence listening to her opinion. So this is the new talking point of the left and the coddled you know, adult babies, is that if you listen to somebody say something and you disagree with it and it makes you uncomfortable, you went through violence. Words are not violence. Words are not violence, babies. Okay? I'm not giving you a safe space, and I'm not giving you an adult diaper and a pacifier either. Learn to deal with it. We live in a world where people are going to say things you don't like. People are going to say things you disagree with. I don't care if it's Andrew Tate or Piers Morgan or Anthony Fauci or whoever it is. You're going to hear stuff you don't like. So what? Grow up. Grow up. So what is the lesson to these young kids, by the way? Oh my God, you hear words, they're violence, get a safe space. I mean, what a babyfication of people. Okay. Then they say it's a version of radicalization. She says, who works at the school, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on and on. So here's my note to you, is that media has a certain narrative on this guy, because 99.9% of the people who report on things in media don't do research. They don't. Journalism is dead. They don't care. They have a narrative. They hear something. I don't like that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like this guy's tone. He's accused. This is my favorite. He's accused of all these things. Oh, he's a terrible person. Why don't we wait and see if any of them manifest into actual convictions? I mean, and they do it all the time. It doesn't matter who it is. They do it all the time. So I'm just telling you, when you ingest this stuff, know where it comes from. Have your head on your shoulders. Again, I don't care if you like Tate or not. I really don't. I don't care. You could hate him. Okay, cool. It's a whole bunch of people who are out there. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Klaus Schwab, you know, but I'm not going to sit here and misrepresent what he's saying. I'm going to tell you in his own words what he's saying, and then I'm going to take issue with it. So this is what's happening. It's going to happen in schools. It's going to happen everywhere. And listen, you know, again, I ask people, you know, people say, oh, but people will get radicalized. And I say, don't kids have parents? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's an assumption. Like, don't kids have parents? Don't families get to contextualize things? Maybe a kid will see a short from Andrew Tate that's been chopped up. And by the way, he has expressed concern about that as well. That, you know, he does this long form content. They break it up. They chop it up to be ostentatious to get clicks. Is there a concern that a young kid could see that, take something out of context and get a negative? Yeah, you know what? That's what parents are for. And by the way, why are all of these people who are concerned about that with respect to Tate, they're not concerned about the rap music coming out, degrading to women, all these lyrics disgusting half the time. They're not concerned about some celebrity twerking on stage, half naked, saying this or that. It's like selective concern when you don't like the messenger. So don't tell me you're so worried about, oh, all these people are going to get indoctrinated by Tate. You're not worried about the massive indoctrination campaign that just happened the last 2 years, where you had people distancing themselves from their own family members because they were told something about an experimental shot that wasn't true. And that, by the way, they knew wasn't true from day one. Come on now. You just don't like this guy. And that's fine. But then own up. Say, I just don't like him. Don't pretend like you have this big case and you've got it all figured out, because no one has it all figured out, or it would have been done in a settled deal and the charges would have been set. It would have been over. It's not over because nobody knows what's going on inside. All right. Chat, you ready?
Oh, let's go ready.
To chat.
Awesome. All right. So we have a shout out to Marcus Godfrey. He said he's headed to his interview for deputy sheriff. Wish him luck.
Oh, good luck to you. Deputy sheriff. Fancy.
All right. And then we have Pereira Dad. Shout out to Pereira Dad. He said, another red flag is she has only single lady friends. They will try to sabotage her relationship at every turn. A good rule for women is never take advice from anyone you shouldn't trade places with.
That's a great point. You ever meet a girl? Oh, yeah. And you're like, oh, you start to get serious a little bit and you start meeting all the friends, and then you meet the friends and you're like, they're all single. They're all like, oh, another bottle of wine. Woo. They're all party types. And you're like, am I going to send my girlfriend out? And every time she goes out to hang out with the girls, that's the crowd. Red flag, red flag. Now, if there's a mix, maybe there's a single friend, a married friend, it's going to happen. Pay attention to the friends. You learn a lot about a female from her friends. Also, by the way, you can flip that. And you can say, and women in the chat, you know, if you meet a guy Everything's going great. And then you meet his friends and they're all like a bunch of degenerates. You're like, I don't know about that, because you become the company you keep. It's true. So just saying.
All right. We got two more. Yeah. Also, shout out to Miguel Nino. He said hyperopigamy. I believe I said that right.
Hypergamy.
Hypergamy. Yep. Excuse me. Is natural, but it has been proven that even alphas, celebrities, are left by their wives. It is important for the woman to recognize this if she wants a successful marriage. And yes, and then we have one last one. Shout out to Frankenstein Sickant. Andrew was aware it'd be a hit piece from the jump. They both said that in front of Matt Shay from Vice when they had him on their podcast in Romania.
Yeah, I heard that exchange too, but I don't know at what point, and this is something that if I ever get to ask him, I'm going to ask him, like, at what point did you learn that? Because I would have just been like, I'm done. Cut the mics. I'm done. You know, I don't know what happened there. I'm confused. I'm confused by the fact that they let Vice in. I'm confused by the fact that they didn't chop it when they realized that there was a snake in the house. I'm confused, to be truthful about that. But I find that people don't, I think that there is a willingness to take some media on like a good faith sentiment. And I don't know. I'm confused. That would be a question I would have, because if you're calling it out, there had to be a point at which you realized something had flipped. So I would have got my rep in there and been like, I'm done, you know? Also, that raw footage, I don't know if they had access to any of that. I'd be playing that left and right if I had legal access to it, because something went on there that was not kosher. It's just, you know, you're in media for 5 minutes and you can see that. All right. I want to get to this next story, and then we'll get back to the chat after this. And we also have reaction to Drew Afualo today. Oh, I forgot about that one. I don't think I put that in the lead, actually. Look at me forgetting. Okay. New York Post again. I moved in with my platonic soulmate after divorce. You don't need men, it says. Who knew? Listen to this story. Best friends Marissa Baker, 30, they're young, and Patty Kulak, 27, say they're platonic soulmates, insisting they don't need a man to be happy. The pair from Naples, Florida, met at Baker's birthday party. When she noticed that Kulak seemed down in the dumps, Kulak insisted. Oh, she opened up to Baker, revealing that she and her husband had recently decided to split. So here's the story. Both of these women split from their husbands. I don't know what happened. Something went down. They don't reveal that. And now they're living together. They're platonic soulmates, and they're on a I don't need a man journey. Now, you caught the ages, 30 and 27. These women are young. Now listen to the relationship, though. It says, we have built such a good connection over something that can be considered so ugly. It's wild. Our whole relationship has been very simple, says Baker, who needs only to say the word, and Kulak is like, boom, got it. That's why we jokingly call each other platonic life partners. Weird. Because whatever the universe does, we just help each other figure it out, and it's so much fun. Despite their cosmic connection, they insist the relationship is based purely on an emotional connection. If I could pick a husband, I would want Patty in a male form, she joked. But she said they're not attracted to each other. She conceded their tight bond may have set a really high bar for romantic pursuits. Now a guy who comes in's got to compete with a platonic soulmate. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. Then she says, I truly believe I'm in a safe relationship with Patty. I'm never going to be manipulated. I never have to fear that she's thinking something about me that I don't know. Okay, so this goes on and on. The crazy just continues. There's something real weird about this. Is it not the way they talk about each other? I'm not saying don't have friends. I'm not saying you can't get into a relationship. It ends and your friends can, you know, pick you up when you fall. You know, maybe you're hanging out more, trying to, like, you know, it's hard when you break up with somebody, especially ending a marriage. Can't even imagine. But this is a little nuts. Now, what's going to happen when one of these women meets a man? What's going to happen then? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. One's going to get jealous, right? Let's say Marissa meets a guy and she's really into that guy. You think Patty's not going to get jealous? You think Patty's not going to maybe try to talk her out of that guy? Maybe her advice isn't going to be so sound because she's now emotionally involved and she doesn't want to wind up alone without her platonic soulmate. Think about how's that going to happen. Now, and what happens if y'all been through relationships, right? Sometimes there's ups and downs, even in a friendship. You ever had a friend, you're really tight, everything's going well, all of a sudden there's some type of betrayal? Mm-hmm. happened to me when I was in high school the first time. Blew my mind. What happens there? I just think there is something really odd going on when a 30-year-old and a 27-year-old woman have made a decision that they don't need a man based off of a platonic soulmate type weird codependent thing with another female that they're not attracted to, that they're not trying to be in a relationship with in any way. It's a weirdness going on here. There is a weirdness going on. Also, they say you don't need a man. Okay, so you never need to have sex, ever. You never need to feel a relationship, a real relationship dynamic. You don't want to have someone, you know, be in love with you, you be in love with them. You don't ever want to go out on dates. You don't ever want a physical attraction to somebody to come both ways. Yeah, that's nonsense. You know, it sounds like a bunch of two jaded women had bad relationships. They're upset about it now. And they've come up with what they think is some solution. And by the way, I love how it's like the title. I moved in with my platonic soulmate after divorce. You don't need men. Like, is that the message? Oh, don't worry, honey. Don't worry. You're with a guy? Doesn't work out? No problem. It's all good. You end that situation. You go get yourself a platonic soulmate, a female, and you don't need a man. I would bet any amount of money that you track down these two women and, I don't know, let's say they're living like this. Find them in 6 years. Do they want kids? Do you need a man for that? No, I could just go to the sperm bank and maybe we can co-parent together. Honey, you're going to be miserable. Come on. Don't lie to yourself. And this is the problem. Like, people say, oh, you're so tough on women. I'm not trying to be tough on women. I'm trying to wake you up. Don't delude yourself. Don't live in some alternate reality for X amount of years and then wake up and you're like, why didn't anybody tell me? I was trying to tell you. I'm here trying to tell you right now that a platonic soulmate situation with another female, if you're a woman, is not going to make you feel like you don't need a man. Why do I even need to say that? Are we so broken in 2023? I mean, really, that I have to vocalize. I mean, think about what I just had to say. It's like me having to say a man's a man and a woman's a woman. People are like, no, really? Whoa. Like the light bulbs go. God. All right. I want to move to Drew Afualo. Oh, yeah. Hit that subscribe button before I keep going. Hit that like button because you know I got some feisty feminist coming my way next. Christy Carlson Romano is a Disney kid. She's older now. I don't know how old she is. I'm going to say like 20s, but she was a Disney kid, famous for that. And she has podcasts now. She had Drew Afualo on. And they were talking about gender dynamics and what they call internalized misogyny. I'm back. Okay. Let's do it. Let's go to 1712. This is Drew talking about her relationship. She has a boyfriend. Just listen to the description.
That's why he loves me, because I don't need him. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't need me. It's vice versa. So, like, we're equals in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I really fucking hate when they say things like, they're like, oh, girl, like, remember these nuts, bitch, is what I want to say. Because, like, that's why he loves me so much, because I am so strong and independent outside of him. I'm mm-hmm. a whole person with thoughts, beliefs, dreams, loves, hopes, all that things. All those things come with me before I found him. So, like...
Okay, and listen, she can have whatever relationship she wants. If it's working for her, more power to her. I'm all about it, right? You build a relationship you want. You got some dynamic going on there that's working for you. Great. But this is perplexing to me, and I don't think it's a model that creates a successful relationship large scale, okay? Because I really don't understand. You now have a relationship where you're openly at the start, oh, I don't need you and you don't need me at all. Just, you know, I'm a whole person and you're a whole person. We don't need each other at all. Well, then why are you doing it? Why? Why are you doing it? Why are you afraid to say that you may... We're now in a place where you're afraid to say as a female that you may need a man for something that you can't do for yourself. And maybe a man is in a place where he can't say, I may need a woman to do something for my life that I can't do myself. How sad. How deeply sad is that? What would be the incentive to get into a relationship? And I just don't understand it. If you're doing everything that you can for yourself and there's nothing that a guy can add to that equation for you, right? You're saying, I'm a whole person. I've got it all together. I don't need you for anything. What's the point, right? Shouldn't a relationship be like, hey, these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses, and these are your strengths and these are your weaknesses, and you know what? You compliment me well, and the stuff I don't do great, you can help me do better, and you can do better for me with me, and the stuff I do great, I can help you. I mean, isn't it supposed to be a give and take? Now we're in relationships where everyone's like, well, I don't need you. Oh, yeah, I don't need you. So everybody, you know what? Everybody's disposable now to each other. Everybody's like, well, you're here. Everybody's got one foot out the door because everyone's afraid to lean on each other in vital ways. So I found this to be highly dysfunctional. Maybe it's not viewed as highly dysfunctional in the year 2023, but relationships in 2023 are a hot mess. So this may be one of the reasons why. Maybe when you got women out there walking around saying, I don't need you on second one. I don't need you. You don't complete me. I'm a whole person. There's nothing that I can't do for myself. Maybe that's a problem, honey. Maybe it's a problem for you, and maybe it's going to be a problem for all the women you're giving advice to. Drew? Okay. Let's go to, this is my favorite. This is a description on feminism from Christy. Let's listen.
Like, okay, so I'm 38, mm-hmm. and I come from the girl power era of feminism,
yeah.
which isn't working out really well now. It was not inclusive.
It was
very one-sided. It had a lot of internalized misogyny.
Yeah.
That it was a lot of male eye, Victoria's Secret model, like all that stuff is getting sort of uncovered and understood and unpacked.
Okay, yeah, so wait. First of all, she's 38. I didn't realize that. Honey, you're talking like you're 24. Come on. We're going to need you to grow up a little bit, baby doll. 38 years old talking like this. Just a parrot for the feminist cause. It's crazy. So did you understand what was said there, though? Modern feminism I talk about as being problematic, you know, the Gloria Steinems, all that stuff, that you don't need a man. She's saying that didn't go far enough. That wasn't good enough. That still had what she calls internalized misogyny. Modern feminism, to her, had internalized misogyny. Where? Well, listen to her explanation. She talks about the male eye. She says the male gaze. They're obsessed with this idea of the male gaze because somehow they think it's odd that a woman would go through life, a woman who wants to get married and a woman who wants to have children, and she might be thinking about what men find appealing. Why is that strange? That's bad now? That's bad? You should walk through your life. I told you what they want. Walk through your life and you do what you want. In fact, you know what? You do you so much that you do stuff that's going to repel those guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Drew Afualo will be your cheerleader if you do that. But you'll be alone and single. That's so ridiculous. Of course, as a female, you want a family. You want, you know, a husband. These are things you want. Naturally, instinctively, you're going to be thinking about what's going to attract the opposite sex. That's what's called human nature. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. And that's also happening on the other side. That's why guys are saying, I want a nice wife. I want a nice, high-value woman in my life. I'm going to get my act together. I'm going to work out. I'm going to, you know, make some money so that I can provide for her. I'm going to get myself in shape. So heaven forbid we're walking down a dark alley and someone comes at us, I can protect my woman. What is wrong with that? Do you understand how the basic tenets of society are under attack now? This is not to be taken lightly. These women want it all wrecked. They are going to burn down the building with you inside. Wake up. It sounds light and fluffy and all this, but you think about it. She's talking about Victoria's Secret models being a problem. Why are Victoria's Secret models a problem? Do all of these feminists also have a deep-seated insecurity about what they look like and their weight and their... I mean, what is the problem with a Victoria's Secret model? Yes, Victoria's Secret models exist. Yes, Victoria's Secret models tend to be beautiful women. Okay? Yes, they will catch the eye of many a man. All right. Great. Next. Like, why are we supposed to be, what is your angle there of why that's a problem? There's some deep insecurity, deep, deep insecurity that's woven through modern feminism. And there's this blame out. Like, now it's the guy's fault. It's somehow some type of like internalized misogyny. If I, as a woman, say, yeah, that's a beautiful woman. It's a beautiful Victoria's Secret model. I've got some type of internalized misogyny because maybe I'm just a secure female. And I'm cool. And I'm like, okay, beauty is beauty. Let's pray. Yeah. Amen. Do you see though? It's almost like these women are like working out some stuff on their podcast that maybe needs, I don't know if there's like a therapy session that needs to be happening. Something is going on that's weird. Let's go to 2730. Now she's talking about, Christy says to Drew, like, hey, there are guys that write you, and why don't you try to pull them over to your side? Kind of question. Okay, let's see what she says.
For men, they'll say things like, oh, like, you're just focused on the bad, like, you don't have any interest in educating, like, why don't you try teaching them? Why don't you try? I said, a full-grown man? Someone who pays taxes, you want me to tell him why he shouldn't hate women? Why is that my job? That's, you didn't come out of my coochie, so that's not my responsibility, first. But second of all, I don't care about you. And I feel like that's the part they're missing. Mm-hmm. I always say, like, there's a wild disconnect because I don't give a fuck about you. And I feel like you're missing that part. What I care about is not shaking you out of your bigotry. Mm-hmm. I'm waking everybody else up. Okay. I'm telling all these girls, don't listen to this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a million more dicks where this one came from. Mm-hmm. And one of them's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a million that aren't. So I don't care about you. I care about them. Right. So I think that's.
Yeah. Times
get crossed. A
no, exactly.
Bit.
You're like, my content isn't for you.
Yeah. I've
You're
said
not
that many
my demo.
Times.
Keep scrolling.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Okay. But what a deeply disturbing way to look at it. So my content is for everyone. You know, my content is for everyone. I'm not sitting here like, oh, if you agree with me, then great. Yeah, I'm here to protect you from all these people. But if you disagree with me, I'm not interested in talking to you. No, I want those people who see the world differently to have their eyes open to what I'm saying. You have an invitation to sit at my table any day of the week. I'm never going to sit here and say, I don't care about you. I don't give a shit about you. That's deeply problematic. And by the way, very different, you know, that the Tates of the world get all this criticism. Meantime, he's talking to everybody, right? He's talking to the guy who's sitting at home playing video games, watching pornography all day long and saying, there's a better way. Step up and find your way to a better way. He's not saying, I don't care about you. So what I learned about from this is, like, she doesn't care about outreach. And you can't tell me that you are out for the betterment of society if all you care about is the war, the us versus them, the my team versus your team. You can't tell me that you're out for the betterment of society. So she's preaching to the choir. She's trying to get women madder about something. It's wild. It's really, really wild. I never heard somebody say, oh, I just don't give a shit about you. What if some of these guys are reaching out because they're saying, hey, I'm a guy. You're talking this, that. This is my experience. This is why you're wrong. No, not interested. So I have a question for her. I'm a female. She goes on and on, by the way, about how it's a little bit different for women because she feels like they're on my... She says, we're on the same team. No, honey. We're not on the same team. We may share a gender. We could have a whole conversation about that, too, I'm sure, in a debate. We're both women, but we're not on the same team because we're not advocating for the same things. We're not advocating for the same causes. But if you're willing to sit down with me and have a conversation because I'm a female and because you haven't written me off by virtue of the fact that I am a woman, open seat at the table. Open seat at the table. Come sit here and we will talk these things through. Because it seems to me like she's just dismissing all these guys. And it's really easy for women to do that. I see so many women just dismiss a male experience. We don't know what it's like. I don't know as a female what it's like to walk through the world as a man. I'm interested. I want to hear from people. Tell me what are your struggles? How is it different? I want to know because it's important if I'm going to comment on stuff to have that perspective. Imagine me just saying, oh, I don't. You're a guy. Mm-mm, you're on team B. I'm not interested. I'm on team A over here. I mean, craziness. People are unbelievable. All right. I'm going to get into the chat. Do we have chats?
Yes, we
do. And then we're going to get to, World Economic Forum, and then we will close for today.
No problem. All right. Shout out to, well, this is a funny name, Beaten Cheeks. Keep up the great work, Jedediah. You used to be cringe to now learning more from you and your guests. Keep up the great work.
I was cringe, y'all. When? I need to know when. Was it with the Rolo conversation? Rolo and I are tight now. So there's that. Okay.
All right. Shout out to Shadow Dancer, the Red Mage. He said, disempowering messages that buy into the system, quote, rap twerking, quote, do not raise red flags. Sincere personal responsibilities must be branded heretically article by the system.
Well, yeah, it's because those messages that you see, somebody twerking, somebody talking about promiscuity, that all favors the agenda of the system, right? They want women to be promiscuous. They want women and men less likely to form a union. They want all these things. They want obesity to be glorified. This all helps them. But if somebody comes along and has influence and reach and the messaging is contrary to what the system likes, forget it. You know, they'll come for you night and day. They will make it their priority to wreck you regardless of what your life looks like. I don't care, because they got to take you out. If your reach is far enough, they got to try to take you out. What they don't realize is that the message lives on, right? It's just, you know, it's one person. But if that one person has inspired a sea of people, you're going to try to take them all out? Good luck, honey.
Right. Also, we have a shout out to Brad Title. He said, see Benita Arnett, the sex diaries, data hiding behind the stuff that sells.
Interesting.
The next, then we have a shout out to Glenn Lawrence. He said, hey, Jed, I was on a panel last night talking about Tate on the channel On the Block with Jen. Enjoy the feminists attacking me because I said I am not making an opinion on anything until the dust settles. Next, shout out to Lord Commander. He said, family, quote, womanized for her and her kids, quote. And then we have two more, I believe. And shout out to Jen McMahon. On the one hand, it's internalized whatever, blah, the pediatric-y. But on the other hand, it's a social construct. And everything is rainbows. Like, the left needs to learn their social constructs are just internalized.
Yeah, don't you ever notice that, like, they've got, like, a label for everything that they disagree with? You know, a pick me, misogynist. Now you've got internalized misogyny if you just see the world differently. Your misinformation. If you have a different set of data you're looking at, you've made a different decision for your life and you have the audacity to say it out loud. You're bigoted if you believe a man is a man, is a woman is a woman. I mean, it's gotten to a point now where the way that you detect, you know, someone who's on the far left is just through that. Like, are they vomiting out the words at you? Because sane people don't do this. They just they inquire, like, oh, hey, how do you feel about this? You have a conversation about it, done. But I think the challenge is that many people are deeply threatened by conversation and are deeply threatened by a free exchange of ideas. Because they are parrots for the system. They don't have any independent thoughts in their body. They're just like, oh, let me just swallow this up and I'll say it. That's right. Oh, Gloria Steinem told me, oh, bleh. You know, oh, Anthony Fauci, bleh. You know, oh, Bill Gates, bleh. That's all they do all day long. Then they're faced with somebody who's actually thinking for themselves, deeply threatening, not only to them, because now they're being exposed as a walking talking point, but deeply threatening to the system at large because they don't have the ability to have that actual debate. They haven't been doing that actual debate. They've been sitting in a bubble with a bunch of people who are nodding, yes, you're right. Yes, yes, the way, the truth, and the light to them as if they're some type of god or some type of hero. So they're not prepared. They're not prepared for the conversation. And then they start to get defensive and then they vomit out, misogynist! With the claws. Don't forget the claws. Okay.
We got two more.
Two more, and then we're got to go to World Economic Forum and wrap up.
Sounds great. Shout out to Fahad. He just sent money. That was it. And then shout out to Dracita. She says, do you have any tips for a new writer?
Speak your mind. Get a Substack. Get a Substack is my advice, because it's to write on these platforms where there's so much pharma money and so much, you know, establishment money. I would get a Substack if I wanted to do writing right now. A lot of them are doing really good. And it lets you work that muscle. That's what I would do.
All right.
I'm going to do good. Okay. I'm going to do World Economic Forum because then we're going to have to wrap. But I want to get to this because it's interesting to me. I just want you to hear. I'm a big fan of playing people in their own words. Jane Goodall went to the World Economic Forum. I guess she was a speaker there. She's an anthropologist. She's a conservationist. And here's what she said. Let's just take a listen. It's the first one.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
Okay. Let's couple that with this tweet, this final tweet from the World Economic Forum. This is coming from them. This is not coming from me. And it says, it's that second link there, if you have it. Even as birth rates decline, overpopulation remains a global challenge. So when I tell you that the World Economic Forum is concerned about overpopulation, it's not coming from me. It's coming from them. They are outright telling you that this is a concern of theirs. Now, what's interesting about the World Economic Forum is they never outright come and say, this is what we're trying to do. This is the goal. This is the agenda. Instead, what they do is they kind of walk around it. They dance around it. But here's what I would say to you. If you have an organization that is deeply concerned with overpopulation, I think it's pretty safe that you could maybe venture a guess that perhaps some of the tools that they utilize and or recommend would be aimed at a reduction in population, because according to them, they say overpopulation is a problem. So I would think they'd be trying to fix that. So is it fair to say, let me look at some of the things they're recommending, some of the things they're standing behind, and let me just ask some questions about, could that be a means to address the key issue that they talk about in their view, which is overpopulation? That's all I'm going to say. You're going to need to draw your own conclusions on this one. I'm not going to do it for you. But what I do recommend is go look at what the World Economic Forum advocates. Go look at what in the last few years they have pushed, what they've stood behind, what they've stood against, and just ask yourself if this deep concern that they have, admittedly on record from them, when it comes to overpopulation, has informed any of their decisions in that area. That's all I'm going to say. All right. I want to thank you guys today. We have any more? Are we good?
Two more?
Okay, let's do two more and then we're gonna close.
All right. Shout out to Doominus 333. He said, did not see your show until you invited Pearl on your show. The algorithm must have hidden your show.
Oh, there we go. Shadow banning, bro.
And then last one, it's Glenn Lawrence again. He said, if internalized misogyny a thing, how about internalized misandry? If so, then can we say male feminists are suffering from internalized misandry?
You can't say it. You didn't know misandry's not a thing. That's not real. That's fake. Only the talking points of the feminist left are real. Everybody else's thoughts are just dangerous. You didn't get the memo? Mm-hmm. All right, I want to thank everyone for being here, being with us today. I will be back on Friday. Next week, we have some interesting things happening. I'm not going to tell you now because you know what? I need to dangle the dream, as they say. This way you're like, you know, like a little catnip where you're like, rawr. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button for me. We passed 100K. By the way, one announcement I will make is that I think it's next Friday. We're going to have a very, very special celebratory panel to celebrate passing 100K. And you're going to see some of your favorite faces. I'm going to be on the live set. It'll be a little bit of a different set for that day. It will be very, very special. I'm going to have some of your favorite people all in one room. That's all I'm going to say. But that'll be happening next Friday. So looking forward to that. Hit that subscribe. Hit that like. Love you all. See you Friday.